Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and Mrs. Reagan.
Welcome, Mr. President, and welcome, Mrs. Reagan. Mr. President, behind you is a banner. It says, "Thank you, Mr. President." Now, in case that's too subtle, let me explain. President Reagan brought the Vietnam veterans home. He brought us home in the sense of according us respect and opening the door so that we can continue to serve our country. Also, his administration in many ways supported Vietnam veterans. And one important way is the National Park Service, which have been good stewards of this memorial. It is more beautiful today than when we first opened it. Now, a president leaves many legacies, but President Reagan has left one that is new in American history. Because in 1981, the separation between Vietnam veterans and our country was a very deep wound. There had not been a condition like that anywhere in our country's past. Now, 8 years later, there's been a remarkable reconciliation. The president did this in three ways. First, there were programs. One example is the Vietnam Veterans Leadership Program, which he launched, which coordinated with all the veteran service organizations and the Department of Labor and the Veterans Administration to identify the 600,000 Vietnam veterans who most needed help. And now, 8 years later, there's much work to do, but that figure from the original 600,000, Mr. President, is 300,000. We've made important progress because you cared. Next were the men and the women you brought into your administration. In 1979, there were 30 Vietnam veterans in the most senior posts of government. In 1984, there were 300. And many of those men are before you today, Mr. President. You recognize friends who help you in the administration and who will be serving President Bush in his administration. The third most important thing you did was give us the chance to build this memorial. Do you remember in 1981 and early 1982, the question was, will America like the design of this memorial? We didn't know how beautiful it would be. It was a risk. And then we got a call from the White House. Now you see, the First Lady has been on our national sponsoring committee ever since we first started. And she stood by our side through all the debate over the design. Well, we get a call, could you bring the architect's model by? Could you bring it by in 45 minutes? Sure. construction permit that we needed so desperately issued a few days later, and we broke ground. The president took the risk that we needed to see if this memorial would be the one that America would embrace. It was a risk, and thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Reagan. There are now over 100 major memorials all over the country, and they were given birth by this memorial. And I just had a note, Mr. President. John Warner was going to join us today, but when he learned that you could come, then that freed him so that he could be at the dedication right now of the memorial in Loudoun County, Virginia. And of course, with John Warner and Chuck Robb as former Marines, two senators from Virginia, that's a formidable pair of senators from any one state. And your friend John Warner wants you to know that there's no truth to the rumor that they plan to introduce legislation to change the name of California to New Virginia. When we visit this memorial, Mr. President, every Vietnam veteran sees a friend's name. And the thought that we have is that our country's basis of peace can change, the patterns of peace that your generation has created for us, the one that President-elect Bush will be maintaining and developing for our country, can change. The pattern of prosperity can change. But when the mantle of stewardship for our country falls on our generation, as it ultimately will, the one principle that we know that will endure is the principle of service to country, of commitment, that's represented by the Lincoln Memorial, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Korean Memorial, which will be built here soon, the Black Patriots Memorial, and behind us, and I can see it right over the rise, the memorial to the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And what's in each of our hearts today, when we see a friend's name on the wall, and what's represented by our presence with you today, Mr. President, is that we will keep giving just like you did until we die. Mr. President, on behalf of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, we have here a copy of the statue that's right over there. You can see it. Now, this was when we were all younger, and we hadn't mislaid our hair, or the hair hadn't turned gray. But the commitment to country and the bonding among us, you can see in these men. It's a gift to you and Mrs. Reagan, and we hope that you can take it to your new home in California.
Thank you, Jack Wheeler. Thank you very much. I shall treasure that gift. And to all of you, thanks and good morning. Before I begin, let me take a moment to congratulate the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund and the other distinguished guests, without whom the construction and operation of this memorial would not have been possible. Let me also say that America is grateful to the hundreds of Vietnam veterans who, when I asked them to join my administration, did so and have and are serving our nation so proudly. For your devotion to America, I salute you. We're gathered today, just as we have gathered before, to remember those who served those who fought, and those still missing, and those who gave their last full measure of devotion for our country. We're gathered at a monument on which the names of our fallen friends and loved ones are engraved, and with crosses instead of diamonds beside them, the names of those whose fate we do not yet know. One of those who fell wrote shortly before his death these words: "Take what they have left and what they have taught you with their dying, and keep it with your own, and take one moment to embrace those gentle heroes you left behind." Well, today, Veterans Day, as we do every year, we take that moment to embrace the gentle heroes of Vietnam and of all our wars. We remember those who were called upon to give all a person can give, and we remember those who were prepared to make that sacrifice if it were demanded of them in the line of duty, though it never was. Most of all, we remember the devotion and gallantry with which all of them ennobled their nation as they became champions of a noble cause. I'm not speaking provocatively here. Unlike the other wars of this century, of course, there were deep divisions about the wisdom and rightness of the Vietnam War. Both sides spoke with honesty and fervor, and what more can we ask in our democracy? And yet, after more than a decade of desperate boat people, after the killing fields of Cambodia, after all that has happened in that unhappy part of the world, who can doubt that the cause for which our men fought was just? It was, after all, however imperfectly pursued, the cause of freedom, and they showed uncommon courage in its service. Perhaps at this late date, we can all agree that we've learned one lesson: that young Americans must never again be sent to fight and die unless we are prepared to let them win. But beyond that, we remember today that all our gentle heroes of Vietnam have given us a lesson in something more, a lesson in living love. Yes, for all of them, those who came back and those who did not, their love for their families lives. Their love for their buddies on the battlefields and friends back home lives. Their love of their country lives. This memorial has become a monument to that living love. The thousands who come to see the names testify to a love that endures. The messages and mementos they leave speak with a whispering voice that passes gently through the surrounding trees and out across the breast of our peaceful nation. A childhood teddy bear, a photograph of the son or daughter born too late to know his or her father, a battle ribbon, a note. There are so many of these, and all are testimony to our living love for them. And our nation itself is testimony to the love our veterans have had for it and for us. Our liberties, our values, all for which America stands, is safe today because brave men and women have been ready to face the fire at freedom's front. And we thank God for them. Yes, gentle heroes and living love, and our memories of a time when we faced great divisions here at home. And yet, if this place recalls all this, both sweet and sad, it also reminds us of a great and profound truth about our nation, that from all our divisions, we have always eventually emerged strengthened. Perhaps we're finding that new strength today, and if so, much of it comes from the forgiveness and healing love that our Vietnam veterans have shown. For too long a time, they stood in a chill wind as if on a winter night's watch. And in that night, their deeds spoke to us, but we knew them not. Their voices called to us, but we heard them not. Yet in this land that God has blessed, the dawn always at last follows the dark, and now morning has come. The night is over. We see these men and know them once again, and know how much we owe them, how much they've given us, how much we can never fully repay. And not just as individuals, but as a nation, we say, we love you. These days we show our love in many ways, some of it through the government. We now fly the POW/MIA flag at this memorial on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and POW/MIA Recognition Day. This is a small gesture, but a significant one. America also keeps a vigil for those who have not yet returned. We have negotiated with the Vietnamese to bring our nation's sons home, and for the first time to have joint teams investigating remote areas of Vietnam that might shed light on the fate of those we list as missing. In Laos, we have also begun a new round of surveys and excavations of crash sites, and we have told Hanoi that it must prove to the American people through its cooperation whether men are still being held against their will in Indochina. Otherwise, we will assume some are, and we will do everything we can to find them. Here at home, a new Department of Veterans Affairs and extended veterans benefits are merely outward and visible signs of an inward and invisible grace that has come to our land. Vietnam's service is once more universally recognized as a badge of pride. 4 years ago, I noted that this healing had begun and that I hoped that before my days as Commander-in-Chief were over, it would be completed. Well, now as I approach the end of my service and I see Vietnam veterans take their rightful place among America's heroes, it appears to me that we have healed. And what can I say to our Vietnam veterans but welcome home. Now, before I go, as have so many others, Nancy and I wanted to leave a note at the wall, and if I may, read it to you before doing so. We will put this note here before we leave. Our young friends, yes, young friends, for in our hearts you will always be young, full of the love that is youth, love of life, love of joy, love of country. You fought for your country and for its safety and for the freedom of others with strength and courage. We love you for it. We honor you, and we have faith that as he does all his sacred children, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face to shine upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Thank you all, and God bless you.